are prepared for the devil and his angels. Am I too soon? No, I'm all set. Okay. If you look up here, let me point this out. Well, if we put this diagram up here that you can, we'll help you to understand it. Here we have, we're in the church age here. The next event is the rapture here. After the rapture, we find out Israel makes a covenant right after the rapture with the nation of Israel. They're going to put their prefabricated temple up. They're going to worship. They're going to be at peace for 3.5 years. After 3.5 years, they are going to, the Antichrist is going to break his covenant with Israel, and the nation of Israel, he will seek to kill every Jew that he can get his hand on. Now, is that, hang on a minute, is that in the Bible? It surely is. Let me take you, if you will, and we find out in Isaiah chapter 19, and you begin to look over there in verses 23 to 25, there are three nations that after the rapture and after the tribulation that are going to reign in the millennial with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. They are Assyria. You look about Assyria and they're killing all those people over there and so forth. Remember, Syria and Iraq made up old Assyria. They were very good to the Jews when they took them in captivity. And they kept them for about 85, 90 years like that. Allowed them to build homes, allowed them to have businesses and so forth like that, which was absolutely contrary to Assyria. They were one of the most ruthless countries that there was to their prisoners, not to the Jews. Egypt is going to be the third nation that is going to be resurrected and reign with Israel in the millennium when Christ comes back to set up the kingdom. Why is the reason for that? Well, when they left Egypt after 430 years in there, after they left Egypt there, they came out with a great substance. They had a pair of shoes that lasted 40 years. They came out with gold and silver and a lot of things, everything they needed and so forth. And then, when Herod wanted to kill the babies at 2 years and under, they fled down to Egypt, and Egypt became the sanctuary for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. And then we find out also, well, what about these other countries here, or what about another country here? And we're going to examine this. What about Israel? Because Israel, along with Egypt and along with Assyria, is going right into the millennium, and they're going to rule, or they're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So whatever you're seeing in happening now with Syria, and this idiot over there, mass murder, killing all these people and everything, after the tribulation, and it could get worse than the tribulation, but at the end, you're going to find out that Assyria, along with Egypt, and along with Israel, are going to, there's going to be a highway that leads into Jerusalem, they're going to worship together, and they're going to be a nation. Those three nations are going to be resurrected from all of the past, and they're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, what about Israel? Israel has left the Lord. He gave them the land of Palestine. They went in and married these heathen women over there. They had children. They polluted the land and so forth. God had to chastise them. He took them into captivity, 721 by the Assyrians. And then 606, he took the two southern tribes, which were Benjamin and Judah and Benjamin, with their capital Samaria. He took the 10 northern tribes in captive there, or with Jerusalem. The 10 northern tribes, with their capital was Samaria. Jerusalem was the capital for Judah and Benjamin. 606 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came in, took them captive, and so forth. As time went on, the Lord Jesus Christ came. He was born according to all the Old Testament prophecies. Came unto Israel, his people. He came unto his own in John chapter 1, but his own received him not. He then, after 70 years, he said, I'll scatter you to the four corners of the earth. 70 AD, Titus of the Roman army came in, sacked out after a lengthy besieging, and killed, according to Josephus, a great Jewish historian, over 1 million people, and they've been scattered ever since until about 1916 under the Balfour Declaration when they began to trickle back. They did that and gave the land back to the Jews. I'm not going to go into who did that and so forth. We did that last week. But the point is, instead of giving all of the land to Israel, as God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they divided it between the Arabs and split Jerusalem, and it's been a war ever since. The Muslims and the Arabs have absolutely no right to that land in any way, shape, or form. And God said all of that land, and he gave us some 255,000 square miles, is given to Israel alone. They will have it after the tribulation period. God will give all of that land to them. But what about Israel now? The Arabs want to destroy them. The Muslims hate them with a passion. Ahmadinejad said he's going to wipe them off the face of the earth. So let's go in our Bibles and let's go over here to Jeremiah chapter 31. And we're going to see what God has to say about it. Little man, little puny little man, thinks that he's going to control the things of this world. He has no idea. He has no idea. All God has to do is flick his finger. He said in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I'm he that liveth, I was dead, and alive forevermore. And I have the keys of two things, of hell and of death. So all God has to do is flip his finger, and you're gone into eternity. A heart attack, a stroke, whatever it might be. And it's by the grace of God that we're alive today. I thank the Lord for... the older you get, the more you thank the Lord that you've got another day to live, you know. And you do thank him for that. But it is the Lord who controls things. A little puny little man thinks he can sit up in Congress and the Senate and all of this and these foreign countries. You think you're going to run things? You're not even in the ballpark, sir. None. Here's what God says. So, Ahmadinejad, we'll just use him for an example because he's that little punk that comes out and I say that because it's exactly what he is. And you're going to wipe Israel off of the map. I think you should have checked in with the Lord first, you know. So, let's go in our Bibles here, and let's see here, Jeremiah, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31, all right? Here we go, Jeremiah here, chapter 31, I get back here. And we're going to see what God says about that, and it's going to sort of contradict that man, okay? Jeremiah 31, get past 31 there, okay. I like what he knows in verse 35, all right? Here's what it says. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves therefore roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, in other words, if they depart, there'd be no life on earth. But if they don't do that anymore, and they just go into oblivion, it's amazing why they all stay there, isn't it? But if you go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, you find out everything's held together by the power of his word. That's why they're there. That's why all these are here. Saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. So if you can do away with all of the universe and the sun and the stars and the moon and so forth, and the seas, which those ordinances have effect upon that, Dr. Walter Wright, who founded the Kansas City Bible College in Kansas City. He was a medical doctor. He traveled all over. He was a great preacher. He said, I've always tried to find, when I went over to England and that, I always tried to find where the ocean divided. Where is it that the waves quit coming up over here and start going and coming up over there? He said, I never could find it. Never could find it. But you got to stop somewhere, don't they? Isn't that a miracle how God made things? But if those ordinances would ever cease to be, then there'd be no human life, and also there would be no Israel. He said then, there won't be an Israel. Let's read verse 37. Then saith the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel, and all that they have done, saith the Lord. In other words, the ordinances of heaven have to cease working before... if that happens, then there won't be any Israel. Okay, so much for that. Now, let's go on here and begin to look at some other things here, if you will. And let's go over here to, let's see, where we'll go. Let's go from here because we want to bring out and continue on here. What about Israel? And we hear so many things, well, they're getting ready to build the temple and so forth and all that sort of thing. You got to remember one thing. When the rapture takes place, all of these Jews, which they're about 80% or 75, 80, 85% are atheists over there now. These aren't saved Jews. Even your Orthodox Jews are still looking for the Messiah. You'll find a few saved Jews, and you have them in America and so forth, but all of this Israel over there are led to believe that these are saved Jews. They are not saved Jews. They are not. So, what are you saying? When the rapture takes place, these are the ones that are going to build the temple. And they're going to build the temple, and they're going to be worshiping just like they did under the old covenant. They're going to offer the lamb sacrifices. They're going to offer these sacrifices unto God, which, when Christ came, he said over there, just like Paul prayed in Romans chapter 10, he said, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, not according to knowledge. They are ignorant of God's righteousness, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness." And that's exactly what they're doing. The same thing, therefore, applies to the fact the Jewish temple is going up. The only thing I'm excited about it is, it can't go up until the rapture, and when the rapture comes, I'm going to be watching it take place from heaven. That's great. I'm absent from the body present with the Lord, and so are you. So I'm saying, sick 'em, Lord, you know. But when they do that, after 3.5 years, they have a temporary peace. Then the Antichrist breaks the covenant, and he's going to kill every Jew he can get his hands on. So we're going to look at that here this morning, all right? So, first of all, outside of Jerusalem, outside of Palestine, you're going to find out that 9 out of 10 Jews are going to lose their life. Only 1/10 is going to make it back at the end of the tribulation period, or come out alive. Where do you find it? Go with me, if you will. And let's go over here to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, okay? While you're turning over there, in Palestine, 1 out of 3 Jews are going to make it alive. 2 out of 3 will die. And then we're going to show you how fast this is going to take place. And the Jewish nation, by rejecting Christ, are they back in the land to stay? No, not at all. They're not back there to stay. When the Antichrist breaks the covenant with them, after 3.5 years of a temporary peace, they're going to be scattered to the four corners of the earth again, all over. Outside, 9 out of 10 Jews are going to die. Within Palestine, 1 out of 3 Jews is the only ones that are going to survive there. 2 out of 3 will die. It's just a matter if you have relatives. And you have aunts, cousins, brothers and sisters, and mothers and dads and all of that. And the judgment is coming, and 9 out of 10 of them are going to die if they live outside of the state of Minnesota. I'm just illustrating this. 9 out of 10 are going to die. So you're only going to see one. Now, if they live in the state of Minnesota, 2 out of 3 are going to die. Only 1 is going to survive. Does it give you an idea of how tragic this situation is going to be? This is God's judgment upon Israel. You made a covenant with the Antichrist, and you've got to remember this. Right after the rapture, there are 2 witnesses that God has sealed in order to warn Israel. All of these Jews or anybody else, don't make a covenant with this anti-government that takes place. Don't do it. They're all over. God protects them. They'll have 3.5 years, and nobody can kill them. Nobody can hurt them. They have the protection of God. Then you have 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. And they go out all over the world, and they are totally dedicated to the Lord. They are not married. And the reason they're not married is they are chosen of the Lord. So they have no responsibilities of a home life. They have no responsibilities of supporting a wife. They have no responsibilities of raising children. Their job is preach the gospel all over the world. And that's exactly what they will do. And they'll have the protection of God upon them. Nothing can hurt them. God's protection. So the Jews will have warning for 3.5 years by 144,000 Jews. They'll have warning by the 2 witnesses that are going to be witnessing to them, and there is no excuse. Just like we have Jewish missionaries that go to the Jews, we have Christians that are to take the gospel to the Jews too, as well as the world. very few are going to be saved. But there will be a remnant that is going to trust the Lord. So, when he breaks that covenant, let's go here to Isaiah chapter 6, okay? Let's read in verses 11 to 13, because this is the part that tells about the nine tenths, all right? When he starts out, he tells Isaiah, you know, warn him about the judgment that's coming. And then when you read Bible prophecy, he'll come and he'll take a place just that'll go clear on out to the end when it takes place. You'll find that. In verse 11, and I said, Lord, how long will it be till these cities are wasted here, without inhabitant and houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate? And the Lord have removed men from afar or from far away, and there will be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Now, I want to go back, if I can, here just a second. We find out in verse 11, because there's two things here that are spoken of, okay? In verse 11, he said here, how long, and he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Now, the land would have been better translated country. It is Israel's homeland. And you find out that that's the way it should be. Now, the Hebrew for that is, it can be translated either way according to the context that it's in. It can be translated country, land, or whatever, depending on the context. Now, notice in verse 12, and the Lord hath removed men far away, and there is a great forsaking in the midst of the land. The land here is outside of Israel, because men far away, there will be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, because they are scattered. When he breaks the Antichrist breaks the covenant, they are scattered all over. Now, let's go on down here in verse 13, where it talks about. He says here, he says, but yet in it, that's outside of Israel, shall be a tenth, and it shall return. Return to where? Their land. That's where they're going to be driven out of. And you will see this as we go on here when the Antichrist breaks the covenant. He says, man, get out of here and pray that your flight be not in the wintertime. You won't have time to even grab your coat. Pray you not be carrying a child. You can't travel fast enough. Pray it's not going to be on the Sabbath day, because that's only like 9/10, half a mile, something like that, journey under the law. And that's what they were keeping, and so forth. So, but yet in it, that is outside of Israel, in the world that they left, when he breaks the covenant, 1/10, and it shall return. Return to where? To their land, when Christ comes back to set the kingdom up. And shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak. Now the word teal here, they translated that. When you look that up in the Hebrew, it means any strong tree. And it's basically from the word the oak tree comes from. They translated it oak. But basically from a root word, they both mean a very strong tree. Now, when you use that as an oak, whose substance is in them. Okay, an oak tree has a substance. It drops its seed, does it not? This is an illustration that God is using. How many of you hunted bear? 1, 2, 3. Usually when the season comes in, you go to the oak, don't you? I mean, you want to find oak. I know you put a bait out, but you want to put a bait out primarily to bear love oak. They love it. They love the oak seed in there. So, but the oak, when it drops it between the pigs that eat it, the animals, deer, bear love it, and very seldom do they reproduce by just dropping on the ground. They don't get down into the ground to where it does, so they don't reproduce. And God uses this as an illustration that there's not going to be many reproduce to come back and inherit the kingdom of those that are scattered all out in the world. Just uses an oak tree, and it doesn't reproduce many oak trees from its dropping the seed down there itself. So let's go on and read it. There will only be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak. What do you mean eaten by the wild animals? It's just the seeds are not going to reproduce. Whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves? Their leaves should not be in the text because you'll see it italicized. Do you see it italicized? That is put in by the translators in order to have ease of reading, but it is not the right thing to put in because the oak trees don't cast their leaves as far as showing the reproduction of the tree. Okay? So, the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. The holy seed of the oak will just simply show there's going to be very few reproductions of oak trees from the seed it puts on the ground itself, as there will only be 1 out of 10 that's going to return back to their homeland, which is illustrated by the oak tree, only one that will be reproduced. So, redeeming the harvest, there will only be 1 out of 10. Just like the oak tree has a very small harvest of reproducing itself. It's just an illustration to illustrate there'll only be 1 out of 10 Israelites that's going to make it alive back to their homeland after the Antichrist seeks to kill them. Now, let's go over, and there's 1/3 that's going to survive. 2/3 are going to die in the land. So, if you have your Bibles, let's go over here to the book of Zechariah. All right, let's go to the book of Zechariah. We come here, and we find out where it gives us this, and then we're going to show you why this takes place and what they're doing outside of the land, and why are they getting killed in the land. We'll show you what the Bible has to say about that, what Christ has to say about that. Let's go to chapter 13, if you will. Okay. A lot of these prophecies here in Zechariah and so forth, and in Isaiah, and in Jeremiah are prophetic prophecies. They'll start out with the immediate prophecy, like taken into captivity by Assyria and by Babylon, scattered to the four corners of the earth and so forth. And then it'll put on out a prophecy, what's going to happen in the future here. Now you got to remember, just as Israel rejected the Messiah, they still rejected the Messiah. It's still rejected. The majority, that's why God said, step aside, Israel. I'm not going to deal with you as a nation anymore. You're scattered to four corners of the earth. You had the opportunity to take the gospel to the Gentiles. You didn't do it. You didn't even accept your Messiah. I give you the time and everything that Jesus Christ was going to be here. You had your corrupt priests that sat up there, Ananias and Caiaphas, the old man, and then Caiaphas, the son-in-law, got false witnesses. We got to get this man by the name of Jesus Christ out of here. And went through the trial, illegal trial and everything. So, they knew the prophecies. They had the Old Testament. They were holding the Feast of Pentecost. They were holding the Passover. They were holding the Feast of Trumpets. They were holding the seven feasts. So they knew the Old Testament, but they didn't want anybody. They were ruling the people. They had a thing going on, like I like to say with, I hate to say it, but our Congress and our Senate, are sending money everywhere, blowing it all over, sending it to foreign countries, to heathen nations and everything else, when we got people in America that need help, really need help. Help America. Now we're $15, $16 billion in debt and so forth like that because Hillary Clinton needs a pair of shackles on her and don't let her out of the state. Going out there, every time she opens her mouth, she's giving away $2 million to somebody, you know. Every time we have an earthquake or a building falls down, oh, we'll help you, yeah, well, bring this lady home and Bill, take care of Hillary, will you, for a while? Take her to McDonald's or something, do something with her, but don't let her out of the country. You're bankrupting us. Good night, Almighty. Okay, here we go, Zechariah chapter 13. Here's where 1/3 of them die in the land, okay? Here we go. Notice in verse 8, it shall come to pass that in all of the land, that's in Palestine now, 255,000 square miles, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off. Another word for die. You're not going to, you've had it. and die. But the third part shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire. That's the testings. And I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Yeah, I would too. If two out of my people were killed, and I'm hearing about 9 out of 10 being killed outside of Palestine, I think I'd change my mind and figure what these two witnesses and what these 144,000 are saying is, you know, Jesus Christ is going to come in 3.5 years. I mean, he's going to set the kingdom up. Don't you people know the Bible? Why do you think false people come in, or false doctrine comes into the churches? You know why? We got preachers with no backbone that'll stand up, take a stand against homosexuals, same-sex marriages, because we don't want to lose anybody or offend anybody. You are worthless as being a pastor if you won't stand on what the Bible says. I don't know why you're in it for, unless it's the money, you know, or something. Come down to Walnut Grove and you'll change your mind about the money. But I'm just kidding you. I'm just joking. But what do you do if you can't get the preachers? I called a Bible seminary or college down in Georgia. That one fellow, he's a doctor down in Missouri that we're in contact with all the time, and very, very sharp, very sharp. Now he feels he's led to go to Bible college. So anyway, he asked me about this college. Mark got on the internet, and I called the guy and talked to him. And I'll tell you what, there is no way I would recommend the college. I asked him, I said, do you believe in a young earth? It's only 6,000 years old. I said, do you have teachers down there that do that? They have 50 students. And, well, now some do and some don't. Really? Oh yes, now it's not a big issue. It's not a big issue. Then let me ask you, what do you do with Satan? If he wasn't on the original creation, and then he judged it, and it became without form and void, when Isaiah 45:18 says he didn't create it that way, he created it beautiful, you got a gap period between there, a mile long, it couldn't be a million years or what, and you got these flukes coming in, and saying, well, we just only believe the earth is about 6,000 years old. Well, where'd Satan come from? I'm writing when it comes out of Israel, my glory, because they hopped on that bandwagon from a professor over in Pennsylvania. And I can't believe everybody they want you to believe is either a professor or a scholar. Isn't that something? You either got to be a scholar, so you're going to believe him now because he's a scholar. Or he's a professor, okay, we got to believe him because he's a professor. I get so sick of hearing a scholar and a professor, it makes me sick. Really, it is so misleading because it leads people to believe, well, they got to be right because they're a professor or they're a scholar. Couldn't be anything further from the truth. So, we're in the process of a book exposing all of that young earth impossibility. As I'm going to, we haven't finished it yet, and we got quite a ways to go. But I addressed him, you forgot to tell him, sir, about Isaiah 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, where it speaks of Satan. Where was he? God put Adam on the earth there after he brought about an area called Eden. He put Adam, Satan wasn't there until after he created Adam and Eve. Then you come out with this garbage of saying, well, there was no sin before Adam. David, there's a, had contacted a man out down in Florida that did that and proposed two questions, couldn't get any more answers from him because he was nailed against the wall. No sin before Adam, really? I thought Eve sinned before Adam, didn't she? Yeah, I think she did. Yeah. What about Satan? I think he sinned before Adam, or he wouldn't have been in the garden trying to get them both deceived. So he sinned before Eve, or he wouldn't have been there, would he? And you got these guys coming out, a Ken Ham from Australia that hasn't even been to a Bible college. I don't know if he ever taught a Sunday school class. But he's another Obama. He's another man with a, speaks with authority. And he's got that charisma and so forth. And he believes just like Luther. Doesn't believe in the rapture. Doesn't believe in the 7-year tribulation. doesn't believe in the thousand-year reign of Christ. He's an all-millennialist. That's what you call an all-millennialist. Exactly what Martin Luther is. You can't find anything. That's why Luther's don't know anything about the rapture. It's because of that. Okay, so much for that. But those are things you need to know. And this whole thing of this young earth is sweeping America. I called the biggest Bible college down in Kentucky, Southern Baptist Convention. So I'd read a note where the president of the college was going to speak down at Ken Ham's big museum down there with dinosaurs. We got to promote dinosaurs because all the kids love dinosaurs. Everybody loves dinosaurs. I don't love them dumb things. I'm glad I'm not around anymore. But then kids love dinosaurs. Give me a dinosaur. They have a big tail, big mouth, and he's a biggie. Any fun? I don't think he's fun. But anyway, it's an amazing. So I called down her. She said, well, Pastor Yalsa, what would you like? Could I tell him that you want to talk to him about? Well, I don't like to do that because then they won't talk to you. I said, all right, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. A young earth, I see he's going to speak down to Ken Ham's. I said, the man doesn't even believe what you believe. He doesn't believe in the rapture. He doesn't believe in the tribulation. He doesn't believe in the thousand-year millennial reign. I wrote him. I know what he doesn't believe. You know what? That's been 3 months ago. He probably forgot my number. I've never heard a word from him. At all. None. And they won't talk to you. Why won't you? I'll talk to you about the false teaching you got, the deceiving that you're doing to people in church because you pastors won't study anymore. You follow your peers. Whatever my peer said, what's got to be right? And so forth like that. Okay, so much for that. Now, I realize I rambled a little bit. Now, I'm going to unramble. I'm going around third base, and I'm at home plate again. So let's go over in our Bible here. We've read this where there's only one third, but now I want to close with this. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24, okay? Matthew chapter 24. This is what happens in the middle of the tribulation. This is what starts it all. The Antichrist, who is nothing more than Satan indwelling. There's only two people that we find in the Bible that Satan indwells. One was Judas, and one is the Antichrist. We don't find where he does that at all, but we're in Matthew chapter 24, all right? He starts out here, and in Matthew chapter 24, but I want to get down to the nitty-gritties here of this. You can read the chapter. In verse 15, it reveals, when you therefore see the abomination and the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, what he spoke about in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, the abomination is when he declares himself to be God in the Jewish temple, when he breaks the covenant, and the desolation is when he destroys the temple. He destroys the temple. Spoken of by Daniel in the Old Testament, for you should know it. Stand in the holy place, whosoever read, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that get stuck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the wintertime, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be, and the definite article the should be in there, the great tribulation. The tribulation is 7 years. The great tribulation is the last 3.5 years of it. All right? Such as was not seen since the beginning of the world. You mean World War I, World War II, the Revolutionary War? War between the states and all that? You mean it's worse than all of this? The Vietnam War, the Korean War? And setting on the pinnacle, we don't know what's going to happen now, only I can tell you this much. The world isn't going to be destroyed. The United States is not mentioned in prophecy. And we're heading now, we have, what was we talking about there in the back, that they're having a, what day is it now for the homosexuals? Disney World? Disney World's having a special day for all the homos. Really? I'd like to have you, when I was on the police department for 8 years, I'd like to have some of you idiots down there in Disney World with me and deal with these guys that are dressed up and they're good. I remember calling one when I was on call, I was the call with the car, and I went up there. I said, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Man, she looked like a ma'am to me. She had everything what every woman had, you know. And but I'm not going to pursue that anymore. But she turned out to be a man, and he had picked up two teenagers from down in Dayton, Ohio, 30-some miles away, and brought them up to Troy, Ohio, and they had no idea that he was, or she, well, we will put it that, he was a she. They thought he was a she, but they didn't know that she was a he. Got that? Want me to run it through one more time? We're there. And Disney World is going to have Anderson Cooper. Do you know Anderson Cooper? Anderson Cooper is the guy that announces all there, and sort of a nice looking fella. And there, he just came out and he said, well, I got to tell everybody I'm homosexual. Men are climbing out of the woodwork. You know? I think we're knocking on the door of Sodom and Gomorrah. But anyway, so much for that. But notice what it says. It is so bad, especially in verse 21, it is a great tribulation such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time. Nothing, the beginning of the world to this time. All of the empires that existed, the Babylonian, the Medes and the Persians, the Grecian under Alexander the Great, and then the Roman Empire, all of these and the ruthlessness that some of these people were, and so forth, won't even be a drop in the bucket to this tribulation when the Antichrist seeks to kill every Jew he can get his hands on. This is future yet. This is after the rapture. You're going to be in heaven if you're saved, and you're going to be watching all of this. You see? Now, Israel, I want to go one more place, okay? After this takes place here, you'll find out, and you can read on down. Look in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and so forth. And then verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, because Christ is coming back. But now I want to take you, go with me to the book of Romans chapter 11, okay? Because this is one last thing we're tacking on here for the nation of Israel, all right? Romans here, I can get this in if I go fast. If you go fast, here we go. Concerning Israel. Okay, here we go. There's something you want to get your pencil out because I want you to mark this. Here's a gap principle in the New Testament. They deny it, this young earth crowd. Notice in verse 25, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel. They rejected the Messiah until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Mark this, the fullness of the Gentiles is the rapture. It's different from the times of the Gentiles. And I'm going to show you the times of the Gentiles here. That's when Israel's in subjection to Gentile rule of the world. Okay?
What book is that? Romans?
In Romans chapter 11, in verse 25. Until, it's happened until the rapture. Fullness of the Gentiles is the rapture. Between verse 25 and 26 is a 7-year gap period of the tribulation period. This will get you looking at what you're studying when you're reading. Why is it the gap period? Because in verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. Israel won't be saved, all Israel, when we're talking about the saved Israel, they won't be saved until after the tribulation. The rapture is 7 years before the end, before Christ comes back. The rapture starts the 7-year tribulation period. So verse 25, fullness of the Gentiles, talking about the rapture of the church, the fullness of the Gentiles, the body of Christ is complete. Then it goes right on in verse 26 concerning Israel, so all Israel shall be saved. When is that going to take place? Not until Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation and sets the kingdom up. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. Now, go with me real fast, this is it. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. This is the times of the Gentiles, and you'll see the difference. Luke 21, 24, all right? This is just a little theology study here. Luke 21, 24. You rightly divide the word of truth and keep it separate when it speaks about separate there. In verse 20. in verse 21, all right? But let's go on down and just get where it is the times of the Gentiles instead of the fullness of the Gentiles. Remember, fullness of the Gentiles is when the body of Christ is full and the rapture takes place. You go to verse 27. So this is speaking about Christ coming back. Now remember this, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the rapture. It's not the rapture. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John knew nothing about the rapture. It was revealed unto the Apostle Paul at a later time. He was the apostle of the Gentiles. They didn't know about this. Every reference to Christ coming in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, primarily, there is setting the kingdom up. Matthew, over 30 times, the kingdom of heaven, that's the kingdom from heaven, shall be established and so forth, and gives that. That's when Christ comes to set the kingdom up. Look at verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That is fulfilled at the end of the tribulation when Christ comes back. And that's the end. Because Satan will then be chained for 1,000 years and the beast and false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. Okay? What's the difference? Fullness of the Gentiles, the rapture. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, every reference to Christ is when he comes back for the kingdom. They knew nothing about the rapture. Fullness, or the times of the Gentiles, is when it's under Gentile rule. And they will be the Antichrist and so forth. They will be under Gentile rule and the nations of this world and so forth. Satan goes in, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, and says, he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so that he as God, he setteth into the temple. That's after he breaks the covenant with the Jews, declaring himself to be God and so forth, and then wants to be worshipped. Either 666, you'll take it on your forehead or on your hand, or you will have your head chopped off. Revelation chapter 21. And there. So, in closing, and we're a little bit over here. We set that clock. Darn, they didn't set that 10 minutes fast. Yeah. Don't it? Okay. The most important thing is, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Let me illustrate real fast. The billfold sin. I'm a sinner. And we're all the same. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. This hand represents Christ. No sin. He said, Max Shouts, don't go to hell and pay for your sin. I love the world. That's everybody. I didn't choose a little pocket of people over here and a little pocket of people over there. If I love the world, that means, and I say, as Peter said, I'm not willing any should perish, means every human being I don't want. When I died on the cross, I paid for the sins of the world. I didn't predestinate somebody to go to heaven and left somebody float unto hell. No. Anybody ever born as a human being has a right to go to heaven. Your sin is paid for completely. Your home is completely built. Heaven is there. And all you have to do is believe it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Of course. That's why he died. He went to the hell of the cross so you wouldn't have to go to it literally. That's what Christ did. Nobody ever loved you like the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I believe, dear Lord, that you died for me. Thank you. I'll thank you until I see you face to face. Thank you for loving a sinner like me. When I trust Christ, I believe you died for me, dear Lord. He took my sin, marked it paid 2,000 years ago when he shed his blood on Calvary. And he took his righteousness and put it to my account. Therefore, I found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness is by faith in Christ. He had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. So to go to heaven, I got to be perfect, and nobody can ever attain that. So Christ said, I'll take your sin and pay for it, and I'll give you my perfection. I'll put it to your name, Max Jones. You don't deserve it. You're a sinner. But I paid for all of your sins. I paid the eternal price for all of your sins. And I will give you the righteousness that you need to go to heaven, because in heaven there is no sin. I thank God so much he loves somebody like me. I hope that each one of you that are here this morning know and are watching on the internet, the TV and so forth, that if you haven't trusted Christ, that you'll do it just by watching these broadcasts here and these church services here. All you have to do, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And all you have to do to go to hell is nothing. That's all you have to do. Just float through this life, build your bank account, have your nice home, have your happiness, and when you die, you'll hear these words that you wish you had never heard. Sir, depart from me, you are cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You listen to the satanic philosophy of Satan instead of listening to the inerrant word of God right here. You'll plunge into the lake of fire, that's the end of him. That's it. So let's bow over prayer. All right. Thank you for bearing with me here for a bit over. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for the folks being so kind to bear here and with me just a little bit. But to understand these things, you've pre-written history. You know exactly what's going to happen in the future. The next event and the timetable is the rapture. And Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. That is, their bodies are already in heaven, but their bodies unite with this, with their new body. I mean, their soul and spirit unites with this new body. Us which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we just pray you'll give each one a wonderful day today. Thank you for them being here this morning. We appreciate that so much. And bless each and every one. Give us an opportunity to witness in Jesus' precious name. Amen.